Well, this evening we're turning to Isaiah chapter 37, please. So Isaiah chapter 37, and as you find your place, I'd also like to welcome you in the Saviour's name for those who are watching online as well. And I trust the Lord will bless us as we gather around His Word and His truth. We'll just read some verses out of this whole narrative together. It really comes as a whole, this chapter, but we'll just read from verse 14. So Isaiah chapter 37, verse 14, reading through to verse 20. So let's hear the word of the Lord. And Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up unto the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord, saying, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, that dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Incline thine ear, O Lord, and hear. Open thine eyes, O Lord, and see. And hear all the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste all the nations and their countries, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord our God, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord, even thou only. Amen. And we trust the Lord will bless his word to our heart. We'll take another moment, please, and let's seek the Lord to come near and speak to us and bless us even as we gather around his word. So let's pray. Father in heaven, we give thee praise and thanksgiving that we know Christ as our own and personal Saviour. We thank you for the moment in our lives when the Spirit drew us onto the Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for all that He accomplished by His life and by His death. And we rejoice, O God, that full atonement was made. And though He was delivered for our offences, He was raised because and for our justification. We thank you, Lord, because Thou hast declared us righteous. And every sin and the debt of it was paid. Death could not hold Christ, but from the grave he arose. He ascended up on high. He's at thy right hand. There is one in heaven who intercedes for us. We rejoice in all the value and all the virtue and the merit of his precious atoning blood. And we come to thee, Father, this night. We pray that thou would cleanse in the blood. I pray, O God, and I stand in need of a fresh cleansing. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And therefore, Lord, you have commanded that they that bear the vessels of the Lord, they are to be clean. And there's only one way for this preacher to be clean, and it's to know the fresh cleansing of the blood of the Lamb. And I pray, O God, that thou would forgive me of my sin, and thou would fill me with the Spirit. We thank thee that it is the Spirit, Lord, that giveth light. The letter, it will kill. It is but death. It's all outward and external. And yet, Lord, we look to thee to apply the word to our hearts. And that thou would shut out the world and shut us in with our God. That thou would elevate our attention and quicken us by the Spirit. And fill this preacher with the Holy Ghost. And Lord, bless us as we gather round the word of our God. Hear our prayer and accept of our praise. For this I ask in Jesus' precious and his worthy name. Amen. Now in this chapter we have what Hezekiah calls a day of trouble. And without question, these are words which describe the day in which we live. We are living in those perilous times which Paul warned us of in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 9. The enemies of the gospel, we hear them continually making their threats. Lawlessness, wickedness, perverseness, godlessness. Well, it fills the land. And in addition to this, the believer, well, they have their own personal trials which brings them a day of trouble. It's a common experience of the Christian to know trouble. Job tells us that man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upwards, and man is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. We all will have a day of trouble. It will come to our door at some time or another. Now, trouble can come upon us unexpectedly. It can come upon us suddenly. And when trouble comes, it usually brings another trouble with it. Or at least it creates other troubles as a knock-on effect. And people, they react differently to trouble. There are some and they panic, while others they remain calm. There are some and they worry, while others they just take it in their stride. There's some and they immediately deal with the trouble. They strategize and they plan, while others, well, they just bury their heads in the sand, hoping that the problem or the trouble will go away. And there's different attitudes that are exhibited in response to trouble. Now in Isaiah 37, we have the response of Hezekiah here. And we find that he does the right thing in the day of trouble. Hezekiah was the son of wicked King Ahaz. And he reigned over the southern kingdom of Judah for 29 years, during which the prophets Isaiah and Micah ministered. He had this commendation made concerning him in 2 Kings chapter 18 in the verse 5. We read there that he trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. And that's a high commendation indeed. We also find that after Hezekiah's wicked reign, that there was much to do in reforming the land. And under God, Hezekiah got to work. The pagan altars, the idols, and the temples, those temples where the idols were worshipped, they were destroyed. The temple in Jerusalem, whose doors had been nailed shut by his father, well, they were opened, and the Levitical priesthood was reinstated. The Passover was observed once again. And under Hezekiah's reforms, revival came to Judah. He put first God in everything, and in doing that, God prospered him. Read in 2 Kings chapter 18 in the verse 7, this time, and the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth. And he rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not. But in the 14th year of his reign, Hezekiah and all of Judah, they faced a crisis. The day of trouble came to the people of God. The Assyrians, the dominant power in the world at that time, well, they invaded Judah and they marched against Jerusalem. They had already conquered the northern kingdom of Israel and many other nations, and now they came and they threatened Judah. And in their threats against the city of Jerusalem, they openly defied the God of Judah, likening him to the powerless gods of the nations round about. And we read of all this in 2 Kings 18, 2 Chronicles 32, and Isaiah chapter 36. Now Hezekiah, up until this point here in chapter 37, well, he had tried other things in the day of trouble. He resorted to different measures than what we find here. He had attempted to buy off Sennacherib. Hezekiah, he sent gold and silver to the foreign king. And he hoped in that way he would avert a crisis, but that failed. And we read of that approach in 2 Kings chapter 18, verses 15 to 16. We also read in 2 Chronicles 32 and verse 3 that he took counsel with his princes and his mighty men. And after that, well, following that, they employed a strategy of really cutting off the water supply outside the city of Jerusalem. And thus they thought they would deprive Sennacherib of the resources that were needed to besiege a city. But that also failed. That didn't put Sennacherib off. He still made his march against the city. We also read in those accounts it would appear that Hezekiah, he attempted to find protection by forming an alliance with the kingdom of Egypt, or at least the thought of it. But all those things had failed. But here in Isaiah 37, we read that he does the right thing. And that's what I want to think about this evening, doing the right thing in a day of trouble. And we all will have a day of trouble. It will come to our door at some time, a health trouble, a family trouble. And we have to say we're living in days of great trouble. So what should we do? What's the right thing to do in a day of trouble? Well, firstly, notice that Hezekiah, he mourned before the Lord. In chapter 36, we have the speech of Rabshakeh. And that was Sennacherib's ambassador. Elikayim and Shebna and Joab,
Well, they were Hezekiah's representatives, and they heard it all that Rabshakeh had to say as they stood upon the walls of Jerusalem. He disparaged the Lord God of Israel, claiming that it was just like the false gods of the nations round about, not able to deliver them from the Assyrian army. He said that Hezekiah would not be able to deliver them also, and they weren't to allow the king to convince them that the Lord would come to their aid. Rather, the men of the city, they should come out and surrender. It wouldn't be as bad as they thought, for they'd be carried off and taken away to a land much like their own, as Rabshakeh said, a land of corn and wine, a land of bread and vineyards. So there's the subtlety coming in, but they would be taken away as captives, not free men. Nevertheless, well, that would be better than in a city shut up, besieged, and being brought to the point of starvation and dying. And when Hezekiah's men heard this, they didn't answer anything as they were commanded. But they rent their clothes and they came to Hezekiah and they gave him the report. When the king heard that and saw their clothes, we read in verse 1 of this chapter that Hezekiah himself, he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth. The tearing of the clothes and the wearing of sackcloth, a rough material made from natural fibers, which would have caused the skin to be irritated. Well, they were expressions of deep mourning, usually for the death of a loved one. And this was a common mark among the Jews, and we have many scripture references concerning it. Hezekiah was grieved over the blasphemous comments made by Rabshakeh concerning the Lord, and the claim of God's impotence, and the fact that he was just like the false gods round about. Hezekiah also mourned over the destruction that he and his people were threatened with. And this was his response. He mourned before the Lord. Now, as I thought about that, I wondered, is this how we respond in our day of trouble? Are we troubled at the trouble? Does the heart break when we hear of the blasphemies that are spoken against our God? Does the innards, do they writhe when we hear of another law, another report, another recommendation from somebody that is contrary to the Word of God? Is there that not within us? Do we mourn, grieve when we see society destroyed by the deception of Satan? Is this the condition of our hearts? I know it does grieve you. And that's why you're here tonight. The weeping prophet Jeremiah, well, he knew what it was to mourn over the sin of the land in a day of trouble. And oh, that we might have his spirit. The one who said in Jeremiah 9 verse 1, oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes fountains of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain daughter of my people. And we need God. We need God to make our prayer meetings wet with tears, through which we might water the dry and barren hearts that are round about us. We have to say our eyes are often dry. We don't mourn. These were very outward expressions, as it were, revealing the condition of Hezekiah's heart when he rent his clothes, when he covered himself with sackcloth. And we need to ask the Lord to break our hearts, to give us a genuine grief and mourning over what we see around us. See, when Christ, in John 11, he surveyed what sin had done in the death of Lazarus, we read that he groaned in spirit and was troubled. He was troubled at their trouble. Or we could think of him there in Mark chapter 3 at the beginning of his ministry, and he's in the synagogue. And he's about to heal the man with the withered hand. And he asks the question whether it's lawful to heal on the Sabbath. But was really concerned with the matter of mercy and grace. And he looked around for them to answer. But none of them gave an answer. And we read there that he looked around and he was grieved in his heart because of the hardness of their heart. It is the Spirit of Christ who produces those groanings within the believer. And that's the heart that we need. Now while Hezekiah made, and his men made this outward sign, which demonstrated the grief and the mourning that they had, the Lord commands us in Joel chapter 2, and in verse 13, rend your heart and not your garments. And turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. And evidence that God's people truly mourn over blasphemy spoken against their God, and the threats of destruction, is not that they put on sackcloth and tear their clothes, but that they turn again to the Lord. There's the evidence when God's people are truly in grief and truly mourning over the state of their land. They turn again to the Lord. Now Hezekiah, he doesn't have a pity party. Neither does he give up and surrender. No, we read at the end of verse 1 that he went into the house of the Lord. His mourning and his grief did not lead him to a rejection of his God and his God's power to come and help. He knew that this was a time more than ever to seek the Lord. Some commentators suggest this is Hezekiah responding to the words that the Lord spoke to Solomon at the dedication of the temple. Solomon was told that the proper response to national sin was to return to the Lord. And we all know well those words of 2 Chronicles 7:14. And in the day of trouble, more than ever, we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Even though we might be downcast and disheartened with all that is happening around us. The king's appearance in the temple, it represented his acknowledgement that at this point, the Lord was the nation's only hope. There's no one else, nowhere else to turn. The nation's defenses couldn't stand against the Syrian army. Mutual coalitions, well, they were of no use as well. The pagan gods, which many in Judah at that time had consorted with, well, they were worthless. Tonight we've come to God's house. We have to say we're not giving up. We're not having a pity party for ourselves. We're not saying that, well, we might as well pack it all in. There's nothing we can do. The enemy's too great. They're all coming against us. Everything. Politicians, media, all the rest of it. Neighbors, everyone's coming against the Church of Christ. We're not doing that. In our grief, in our mourning, we come to the God of all comfort tonight. We come to the mighty God. We come to the living God, the covenant-keeping God, the one who said that when the enemy comes in like a flood, that the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. We're not, yes, we're mourning, we're grief, we're, our hearts are broken over our nation, over our land, over this little area of Harrybill and what's happening. It's broken maybe over your loved one, but we're not giving up. We're here tonight. We're not having a pity party. But Hezekiah, though he mourned, he got up and he went into the house of God. And brethren and sisters, I encourage you to keep on doing that. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Hezekiah, he mourned before the Lord in the day of trouble. But secondly, Hezekiah sought a word from the Lord in the day of trouble. In verse 2, we read that Hezekiah sent messengers to Isaiah the prophet. He sought out the one man he knew who heard directly from the Lord. It was through the prophets that God revealed his word and his will unto the people. So in sending messengers to the prophet, it was akin to seeking a word from the Lord. And Hezekiah knew this. He was seeking a word from God in the day of trouble. We have recorded many times in Scripture when the nation of Israel or Judah was in trouble, the kings, they would often send to the prophets to get a word from the Lord. We could think of King Zedekiah. And we read there that he sent for and he took Jeremiah out of the dungeon. And he asked of Jeremiah, is there a word from the Lord? Any word from the Lord? See, in a day of trouble, that's what we ought to do. We ought to seek out a word from the Lord. You see, it's his word that comforts us in our trouble. It's his word that reproves us. Maybe because we're the ones that made the trouble for ourselves. It's His word that instructs us and guides us through the trouble. It's His word that gives us hope in the trouble. I was visiting a lady today in hospital, and she was telling me, the lady next to her, she had a visit from her minister. And he came in with the Bible, but he never opened it. And he went out again. But it's the word of the Lord that gives God's people comfort and hope in the midst of their trouble. It's not so much the words of the preacher. It's the word of God. And Hezekiah, he knew the importance of knowing the mind of God in the day of trouble. And that was communicated to the people through the prophets. Prophetic utterances were one of the means by which God revealed Himself and His purposes unto His people. But since God has spoken unto us in these last days by His Son, and since the canon of special revelation is now closed, we seek not the prophets for a word from the Lord. We turn to the Scripture in the day of our trouble. It's unfortunate when the day of trouble comes, people or the nation or the government, well, they do not turn to the book of God. Or at least they do not turn to those who faithfully expound the book in order to know why trouble has come and what they ought to do. And Hezekiah, as he's seeking this word from the Lord, he sends messengers to Isaiah the prophet to express the total calamity of the situation. And he describes it there. In verse 3, this is a day of trouble and of rebuke. And of blasphemy. And brethren and sisters, this is a day of trouble. This really is a day of trouble. This is a day of calamity in which we're living. Now it's thought here that the word rebuke is not so much referring to Rabshakeh's speech, but rather that the nation was under God's rebuke for their sin, and that God was using the Assyrians as an instrument in His hand. And so there's an acknowledgement here of their own sin. They're being rebuked by God. It's a day of trouble. It's a day of rebuke. But it's also, a day of blasphemy. And by using that word blasphemy, it shows that Hezekiah had at his heart a concern for the glory of God. That's what he had at his heart. The king, he uses a proverbial expression at the end of verse 3. For the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth, to state the serious plight which they were in. And this was truly a matter of existence, brothers and sisters. This was life and death. And we have to say, the Church of Jesus Christ in this land, well, the endeavor of the enemy is to snuff it out. This is a matter of existence. This is truly a matter of the doors of some of our churches remaining open. This is the seriousness of it. It's a proverbial expression. As if a woman has labored in vain for so long, trying to bring forth the child, but the child dies and the woman dies. And this is how serious it is. And Hezekiah, he needs a word from God in his trouble. He asks the prophet at the end of verse 4. He asked the prophet to lift up thy prayer for the remnant that is left. And it is good in the day of trouble to get others to pray. To encourage people to pray. And that's what we seek to do from the front, through the word. And even those comments before we get down to the time of prayer. It's good to encourage others to pray. For many in our congregation, it's a day of trouble. For them. Now for you and I, it might not be a day of trouble. We know generally speaking in the land it is, but personally speaking, things might be rosy. But you know, there's people in our congregation, and for them it is a day of trouble. Bereavement has come to their door. Sickness afflicts their body. Wayward children burden their heart. Therefore, we ought to pray for God, or to God, for them in their trouble. That's what they would do for us, that's what we ought to do for them. Now Isaiah had a word from the Lord. And what a word of comfort it was. God had not forgotten to be gracious unto his people. And in verse 6 we have those wonderful words, "Thus saith the Lord." And here was a word that could be trusted. It came with all the authority of heaven behind it. It came with the "I will" of God stamped all over it. And that's what we need in a day of trouble. We need that word from the Lord. How many a saint has been buoyed up from sinking down into the depths of despair with a wonderful promise and an "I will" from the Lord? How many a Christian has gone into the operating theater with that wonderful promise of Isaiah 41 and the verse 10, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will hold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." And maybe that's the "I will" you need to hear tonight. Maybe you are in a day of trouble. Well, here's the authority of heaven behind every promise. The "I will" of God stamped all over it. The Lord had a word for the king who mourned and turned unto him. The enemy would not overcome them. Though it appeared that everything was stacked against them, deliverance would come. But not only that, the enemy would be slain. Does God's word not tell us that his cause will triumph, that we will overcome, that all his and our enemies are being put under his feet, that the wicked shall face their judgment? In our trouble, let us turn to the scripture, for God has a word in season for us. Hezekiah, he sought a word from the Lord in the day of his trouble. But finally, notice, Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord in the day of his trouble. Now we read that Rabshakeh, he returned to his master Sennacherib, and he found him on the advance towards Jerusalem. We didn't read those verses, but verse 8 really and onwards describes that. He found his king, his master, fighting against one of the outlying towns or villages or cities, whatever it might be, outside Jerusalem. He was definitely making his advance. But as he was doing this, the king of Assyria, Sennacherib, he hears a rumor that the king of Egypt, well, had risen up to go to war against him. And so, that puts his plans for Jerusalem on hold. Now, lest Hezekiah might think that God has spared his people, Sennacherib, well, he sends Hezekiah another message, this time in the form of a letter, telling them that he will eventually come and take the holy city, Jerusalem. But no man plans, it is God who ordains. So Hezekiah was not out of trouble yet. And this letter would have come like a bolt out of the blue. Isn't that how trouble comes? The doctor's phone call. The doctor's surgery. The letter you weren't expecting. The email on your computer. And so this letter comes to Hezekiah. And how does he respond? Well, look at verse 14 and part B. It tells us there that he read it. And Hezekiah went up unto the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord. The troubled heart will seek the vent of prayer to unburden itself. And here is where we get that expression, spreading the matter before the Lord. We spread it all out before you. It's from these words that are found here. Now some suggest that Hezekiah, he actually opened up the letter and he left it before the Lord as an evidence of the enemy's blasphemy. Now, I don't know if that was the case. God already knew what was in the letter anyway. But what we do know from verse 15 is that Hezekiah prayed. This is what he did in the day of trouble. And this is what we are to do. This is what we have come to do. This is what we need to do. He went to the temple. He went to the place of sacrifice, where none could approach without an offering. A place where the brazen altar was, where the altar of incense was and the mercy seat was, the place where the glory of the Lord dwelt. No, he was a king and he wasn't permitted to go into the holy place. Never even mind the most holy place. There would have been priests who would have mediated on his behalf. They would have gone into the place. They would have sprinkled the blood upon the horns of the altar of incense. They would have put incense upon it. They would have mediated on his behalf. All the while he would have been in the temple court on his knees calling upon the Lord. What a prayer we have recorded in verses 16 to 20. And it deserves more time than I can really give it tonight. But in it we see all the essential elements of prayer. Just to give them to you briefly. Firstly, there is adoration. Verse 16. O Lord of hosts, God of Israel that dwells between the cherubims, thou art the God. Even thou alone of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. And here we notice Hezekiah's reverent approach and rightful acknowledgement of who God is. And that should be an element in our prayer. A reverent approach. And a rightful acknowledgement of who he is. You see, this same God that Hezekiah prayed to, he is our God. He is sovereign. He is creator. He is the God of the nations. Secondly, in verses 17 to 19, we have the presentation, another element of prayer, a presentation of the problem before the Lord. There's adoration and then there's a presentation. Now, it's not that God did not already know what was happening. But it is a means of pouring out our grief before the Lord. God knows all about our land. God knows all about your trouble. But it is a means of pouring out your grief unto him. Of spreading it out before him. Of laying all the matters before the God of heaven. Though he already knows them, it's more for your good than his good. The third element in this prayer is in verse 20, we have supplication. A supplication that has the glory of God as its motivation. Look what it says in verse 20. Now therefore, O Lord our God, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord, even thou only. The glory of the Lord is the barometer by which we ought to measure all our prayers. Why is it that we want God to help us in the day of trouble? Is it that we might have ease? Is it that we might be free from stress and not have to labor and toil? Oh, wouldn't that be great? A great revival. And people just flocking into the church and you know we wouldn't have to go out and knock doors. We wouldn't have to evangelize. You know, sometimes if that's the motive, it's selfish. And in that case, the prayers will not be answered. But Hezekiah was praying for the glory of God. We come tonight to spread out certain matters before the Lord. We have a great high priest who has entered in for us. The sacrifice has been slain. The blood has been shed. It's also been carried into the most holy place, not made with hands. And there Christ, he mediates for us. He intercedes for us. And we are heard because of Christ. Here Hezekiah, he prayed before the Lord in the day of trouble. The Lord says in Psalm 50 verse 15, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me. You read on down from verse 21 onwards. Do that when you go home. For I do not have time, but God answered prayer. He sent word to Hezekiah through Isaiah. And as I close, I want you to notice the irony. The irony in this account. See, Hezekiah, in the day of his trouble, he went into the house of God and he prayed. and 185,000 were slain by the Lord. The Lord came to his aid in a day of trouble. Would you go to the last verse? And here's the contrast. Sennacherib in his day of trouble, when the other army of Ethiopia was rising up against him in his day of trouble, we read, and it came to pass as he was worshipping in the house of his god, Mishrock, his god, that Adoram, Melech, and Sharezer, his sons, smote him with the sword, and they escaped. You see, here was this man, and in the day of his trouble, he went to his false god, and his false god could do absolutely nothing from him. And in an ironic turn of events, he was the one who was slain. You see, here is the difference between being a worshipper of the true and living God and a worshipper simply of the thoughts of men's minds, of idols and of foolishness. In the day of trouble, we have one who can help us. The day of trouble will come to us all. But if we turn to the Lord and seek a word from Him and spread it out before Him in prayer, as a little chorus says, no matter what your troubles are, Jesus will see you through. We are truly in a day of trouble. It is a matter of existence of the Church of Christ in this land. We know the Lord will preserve His own people. I'm not saying that He can ever take our salvation from us, the enemy, that is. And the Lord will always have a witness. Brothers and sisters, the situation is dire. Pews are empty. Congregations drop dramatically in the evening. What we have seen in other denominations, you might say, the trend is happening to us, and I don't want to cast stones outside our own denomination. We need to, in a day of trouble, more. We need to seek a word from our God, and we need to pray and call upon Him. For the Lord has promised to answer. The Lord has promised that He will deliver us. And in that deliverance, we shall glorify Him. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts, and may we, like Hezekiah, do the right thing in the day of our trouble. Let's bow in prayer before we sing a hymn, and then the Reverend Gray will come and bring some announcements to the congregation. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we bow before Thee in the name of the Lord Jesus. We thank Thee once again for the instruction of Your word. A man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. There's none of us will avoid it. It will come to our door at some time. And Lord, we pray that You'll help us to do the right thing. Help us to seek a word from our God. And Lord, help us to rest and to lean upon it. Help us to pray. Remember us now, Lord, in this day and generation in which we live. Hear their threatenings, O God. Hear their blasphemy. Confound the enemy. Cause them, O God, to turn back. And Lord, we ask that Thou would turn the sword upon themselves, and Lord, that they would be slain. Oh God, we pray that Thou would smite them, Lord, even with conviction. May they be slain by the Spirit, Lord, broken and repentant before God. Lord, it seems to be that wave after wave of trouble is coming upon the Church of Jesus Christ. It's one report. It's one law, it's one recommendation after another, wave after wave, coming upon us, seeking to break, as it were, the vessel and to wear the saints of God down. Lord, come to our aid. Come to the aid of the Church of Christ, that the people would know that Thou art God and there is none else beside Thee. Lord, may that be the motivating factor in our praying, that Thou Thyself will be glorified. Lord, bless us and do good. For we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.